If you'd like to take your Bibles out and read along, we will be looking again at Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15. We'll pray for the Spirit's guidance before we open the Book of Life. Our Lord and our God, you have given us your written word, which is a revelation of yourself to mankind. I just pray, O Lord, as we study these texts, that you give us ears to hear what you would have us to hear. And give us minds to comprehend it and hearts to live it out in our daily walk of life. Lord, I do pray that you give me the words to represent you properly. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You may be seated. We're again at the point in Ephesians where Paul is getting down to the specifics. And what we see is one of the major themes, not only in the book of Ephesians, but also in the whole book of life, and that is we are to look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully then how you walk. You know, there's two major, really major themes in this book of Ephesians. That is one of them. The other one is what God has done to us and for us while we were yet sinners. Those are the two major things. That God loved us, and just because of his good pleasure, he decided to save some of mankind, which are some of you sitting here, giving you a rebirth, a new life, and saying, now you will live for me. Now you will walk the rest of your life doing what I want you to do. Now Paul sums this up in Ephesians 2. And Paul, he's a masterful teacher. You know, it's kind of like when you teach your kids something, you know, you keep repeating yourself, you know. For me, it's the girls, they're going to hear this until they're 50. Did you check the cow's water, you know, or did you feed the chickens? You know, but Paul, he brings us back, and he constantly reminds us what God has done to us and for us. And I say God did it to us because it's nothing we had anything to do with. It's because God loved us. It tells us, in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, it is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There is what God has done to us and for us, but then it goes right into our daily walk, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works. We are the only people on earth who can do good works as believers. A non-believer cannot do good works. Biblically speaking, good works are works that glorify God and bring glory to God. We are privileged. And we see those points mentioned time and time again in different portions of Scripture. It is God who loved you and saved you. But it was for a reason, to advance his church. Now as we look through this, we see how we are to walk. And just a reminder, we are to walk with humility. And that was Ephesians 4:2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, unity of the body. That was 4:12, Ephesians 4:12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now that is something we have to take serious. It doesn't say to equip the minister. It doesn't say equip the elders. It's equip the saints, each and every saint, for work, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. It's your duty to build up this church. Each and every one has a duty. We are to walk uniquely different than the world. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That was Ephesians 4:1. And in 4:17 it says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. We are to be different than the world. In Ephesians 4:15, speaking of love again, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, is Christ. And he talks about more with the body of Christ. And we are to use the light of God's word. That is our standard. There is no other way to build up God's church than by doing it his way. We must never reach out to the futility of man's ways. It is God's ways. And in Ephesians 1:18, it tells us, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And in Ephesians 5:8, for at one time you were in the darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And the only thing we can find that is good and right and true is given to us through the word of God. That he is the light of the world. His revelation of himself is only found in the Bible. And it is in the whole Bible. We cannot take one verse and say, oh, God is love, and that negates everything else. Our God is a jealous God. He will not give his glory to another. And then we went into where Paul was talking about the wisdom, and that's verse 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And again, I like the King James because it was clear, and it says to not to walk as a fool, but as a wise man, as wisely. Again, we must understand biblical context. A fool is someone who lives their life apart from God. He has not received the blessings of God. He does not have the treasures of God given to him. At one time, we were all fools. We were born in iniquity. We were born in sin. We were separated from God. But there came a point where we became wise, and that was at our conversion. The minute we were converted, we became a wise person. We will never be a fool again, because what God started, he will finish. And all that he seeks, he will not lose any. We have become the opposite of a fool. And in biblical terms, a wise person guides their life by biblical principle, and they walk in the spirit of God's truth. They are reined in by the word of God. Now, in the last message, I emphasized what it was to be a fool and the consequences of it. I'm going to recap just a little bit. Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And what that phrase means is what they are denying is the Creator God. They will have gods made in their own image, but they will not acknowledge the true God. And the results of that is they are corrupt, they do abominable deeds, there is none who does good. So on this side of eternity, there are two types of people. There are the fools who live apart from God's word, and there are the wise people who have been transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit and are now in God's family for a reason, a purpose, and a cause to represent him to the world and advance his kingdom. Now when we again look at verses 15 and 16, look carefully then how you walk, not as wise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. There are four clear points in these verses. Number one is our daily walk. We are to walk wisely. Our time is limited. We live in a fallen world. And I'm going to even attempt to do them in order once, which will be a first, I think. So we are to walk different if we're truly saved. Our walk. You know, Jesus said, pick up your cross daily. What he means by a walk is our daily actions, our daily lives will represent us to the world as Christians. Now, this flies in the face of some of the beliefs in the church now where they say, once you raised your hand and you made a confession of faith, you're saved. And many people do nothing for the body of Christ decade after decade. So we invent the nice word, perpetually backslidden. They're saved, they're just backslidden. No, they're not saved at all in most cases. It isn't what you have done in the past by raising your hand. It's what you do today for Jesus Christ that is a testimony of whether you're a believer or not. What have you done for him this hour? What will you do for him today? That is a testimony of your faith. It will never be a one-time, oh, I'm covered. It's how are you maturing and living your daily life out for the advancement of his kingdom. That is the testimony of your faith. That is how God will judge you. That's why it says many on that last day will claim they knew him. And Jesus Christ will say, I never knew you. As a matter of fact, he will say, you were a fool. You were a worker of iniquity. You did not live by biblical principles. You were not guided by my word. You are different, is what God tells us. Your walk will be different. You know, what God did earlier in Ephesians said, which he lavished upon us in Ephesians 1:3. Just listen to this. But I want you to listen why you are different. Why your walk has to be different. I'm going to read this, but I'm not going to use the we or the plural. I'm going to use I and individualize it to yourself. Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose me in him before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined me for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed me in the beloved. In him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of my trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon me in all wisdom and insight, making known to me the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Do you see why you're different? All those blessings he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose. Saints, you are what unites all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. You are an extension of him here on earth. His Holy Spirit lives through you here on earth. He advances his church through his saints. What a privilege. What a duty. That knowledge is given to us. You know, and that was given at our conversion. The minute we were converted, it's like, you know, I did construction my whole life. It'd be like at age 12 if somebody took a whole machine shop full of all these cabinet making tools, anything imaginable, all these different tools where I could make whatever I want out of. And said, there you go. They're all yours. But you know, the only way that I'd ever get to start to really use those things, even though they were mine, if I started handling them and doing it. Using them wisely for what they were designed for. And that's the same thing as Christianity, which brings us to our second point. We are to walk wisely. We are to live these lives, take these gifts that God has given us, and use them. And we say, well, I don't know how. That's right, we don't. But we dig in and we start and we study God's word. And we go out and we use them more and more, and we learn through experience just like we use everything else in life. At one time you were babes in the faith. But God's desire is that you become mature, effective for the advancement of his kingdom. And we can only do that by walking wisely. Studying the book of wisdom, which is Proverbs, but also the whole Bible. And it tells us in the first proverb, Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Another biblical word we must understand, fearing God. That word is multifaceted in the biblical tense. It's a fear of knowing the powerful God, that even enemies will recognize that God is at work in a Christian's life. In Deuteronomy 2:24, he told one of the prophets, "Rise up, set out on your journey, and go over the valley of Arnon. Behold, I have given it into your hand, Sihon the Amorite, king of Hezbon, and his land. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole heaven, who shall hear and report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you." Saints, when we act properly, when the church is mature and advancing, the enemies of God will fear you. They will fear our God. They will see that things miraculously are happening. And there will be a fear. Then Joshua tells us that we are to fear the Lord because of his greatness, his mercies, his tender mercies, what he has done for us, how he has dealt with us. You know, we have that with the scriptures, stories of Christians. We have history. We can study what God has done. But Joshua 24:14, Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. This was right before they went into the promised land. They saw the mighty works that God had done throughout their history. And they said, fear the Lord. And then there is also the fear of Lord when we recognize who we are compared to what God is. When God's word reveals to our heart our sinfulness before a holy God. And in Isaiah 6:5 it tells us, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When we truly recognize what our God is, when the eyes of our hearts are open, there will be a fear and a reverence for our God. You know, in Revelation, it told the church, it says, I know your works. I know your works. Well, what are churches? They're people. They're you and I. God knows your works. And that should drive us to have a continual awareness of him, which will result in reverence for him, which drives us to a will to obey him. Fear brings to us the godly wisdom that we must represent him properly to the world. And we can only do that by doing it by his word, his truth, his book of life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You know, that knowledge of God is revealed to us through the scriptures. We have the potential to have that insight when we are believers. Because like I mentioned earlier, all those blessings, all that insight has been granted to us. It's just that we have to shape it and mold it and use it so we become experts in it. That's why we're here. That's why we meet, to learn about God. You know, our main goal in life should not be for ourselves. It should be to attain the wisdom that produces effectiveness in us, that we can be mature and advance God's kingdom here on earth. That's why the church is formed. You know, he tells us in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Is it any clearer than that? To equip the saints, that's you, for the work of ministry. You are the ones responsible for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. See, you have those treasures, those gifts. We should strive for that maturity. He tells us later, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know, that proper fear of our Lord to do it right must be within us. We must represent our God properly. We do not have many options how to represent him. It's in the Bible. Those are our only options. And it is all of Scripture. Paul tells us he is without guilt because he shared the whole counsel of God. But what wisdom also does, especially when we get a little older, and we see and go to more and more funerals, that our days are numbered. We are limited by time. Again, as a reminder, we lived two lives in our lives. One as a fool before our conversion. And at the time of conversion, we lived as a wise person. And that portion of time is the only time we have to do any good for the body of Christ here on this side of eternity. It's from that time of conversion till the time of our departure. We cannot change the past, even though there's many things we'd like to. I know I would. We cannot. We do not know if we have a future. We have a present. And that is our daily walk. What are we doing for our Lord right now? You know, by the time I'm done here this morning, we'll be an hour closer to our death, each and every one of us. A wise person numbers his days. They realize there's only so much time in a day. And for a believer, we have to say, how are we living this day out for Christ? Are we truly representing him to our wives, to our family, to our workers? Because today, just like every other day, it'll be gone. It'll be history. We will not get that point again. And we must look, has God given you an opportunity in each and every day to stand up for him, to advance his kingdom, to share his love, to represent him to the world? We live in a marvelous world, though, a wonderful world. The bigger it is, the more you learn about it. It's just unbelievable. The blessings are countless. However, the blessings may be our worst curse at times if we're overblessed, or if we put those blessings before our Father, our Heavenly Father. Which brings us to our last point. We live in a fallen world, and the temptation of sin is real and great. There are many good things in this world which become wicked things if we overindulge in them or they take too much of our time. Our days are numbered. We can love our children so much with physical gifts, set them to the best colleges, the best universities, get them to the best schools. But if we have not brought them up in the Lord, what have we given them? God wants us to have nice places to live and houses, but if we get so extravagant that all we do is work and pay bills and have no time for our family lives or our children, is that truly what God's will is? See, then our blessings become an enemy of the best thing in life. And that is our service to our Lord and our King. We must find that balance. Notice in Ephesians 8 again, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, godly works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We should walk in them. You know, the greatest discernment for a person, a Christian, is where are all those balances, that balance in life? We must take care of our families. We must work. Those are biblical, godly things. But where is the balance where it's overwork or underwork. You know, we must, as it says in our verse, discern what the will of the Lord is, and that is through prayer. And through many times it's through asking advice. In the multitude of counselors, there is great wisdom. But we must not let anything interfere with what God has called us to do. And again, it takes many facets. There's many, many things. Just taking care of our children, our home, and our business is a godly thing. But again, we must proceed with caution. That godly thing may, and many times does, consume us. Leisure may consume us. Sports may consume us. Saints, you are saved for a reason, a purpose, and a cause, and it is to advance God's kingdom here on earth. And that is most effectively achieved when we walk in wisdom, found in the continual study of the book of truth, which results in spiritual maturity, rejecting the false wisdom of the day and the distractions of this world, because we understand that our days are numbered, our days are limited. And it is because we fearfully acknowledge that our Savior is ever present. And out of duty and reverence to Him, we say, as it is in verse 17, we seek, but we understand what the will of the Lord is. Try to understand what the will of the Lord is each and every day. But you know what, saints? You are saved for greatness. You know, it was said the pilgrims lived beyond the grave. Lex de Tocqueville said that. He said they looked for their eternal rewards. They looked for His advancement of His kingdom. And I was thinking about that. I thought, you know what it says in the Bible? Like when you give, it'll be given back to you. It'll be patted down, packed and running over. You'll get so much more back. You know, many people have misrepresented that, saying that's with all our earthly blessings and that. And it could be. Sometimes God keeps giving back to those who give. But I believe it's more a spiritual blessing. When we give out of faith, out of love, that God takes that effort, that sinful effort that people like me up here are giving now, and uses that far greater than we will understand. And I know that's true, because it tells us in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." You know, each and every time we step out in faith, God takes that and greatly increases it. When we give to missions, we don't know who that is touching or how much God will use that. But He will. But we must take these treasures, these blessings that God has given us, and use them. Now you may think, well, I may offend somebody. I'm going to tell you something. If you speak about God, if you're a believer, you will offend somebody. Every time, if they're a non-believer. God's word is an offense to those who are perishing. I don't care how you present it. They will be offended because you're challenging their worldview. But it is by the preaching of the word, it is the only way that a heart is changed. You will not screw it up if you, out of love, share the gospel or the love of God with somebody. And God may take that and transform their heart, because that is how the Holy Spirit works in the unregenerate. It's His working, not yours. We're called to be faithful. People will hate you for it. Get used to it. Your God will love you for it. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, teach us to love You more than the world. Amen.